This is the million-dollar question. When should you hire a financial advisor? Do you wait till after you've accumulated all of your money, or should you do it before? Should you do it during a life event, when you get married or a divorce or a birth of a child? When should you hire someone to help you with your finances? Well, that is the golden question today, and we actually have a caller that called in to Dave Ramsey. They want to know the same thing. He's a doctor, and he's making a lot of money, but should he hire a financial advisor? Or is the financial advisor going to take all of his money and he's going to lose control of everything that he earned and he has a right to? So we're going to answer some of these questions or maybe even some of these myths about financial advisors. Well, we're going to go over some of these questions or maybe debunk some of these myths around financial advisors right now. Check this out.
Amit is with us in Buffalo, New York. Hey, Amit, what's up?
Hi, Dave. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
So I had a question about finances. So I'll explain the situation. Me and my wife were both residents. My wife graduated residency last year. I'll be graduating this year. So during our residency, we had whatever money we were able to save. We invested it. It was a small amount of money, so I was okay doing it. But with my wife getting a new job and me graduating and soon to get a new job, the amount of salary we have, I find it difficult handling that much amount of money. So my question was, like, when should I get a financial advisor? Because I have talked to a few people, but I'm not able to trust them. But at the same time, I'm afraid handling that much amount of money, which I have never seen in my life.
Good for you. You're being very wise on a whole lot of fronts. So here's what the mistake that a lot of people fall into, and it sounds like you're starting to.
Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgeway. I'm the host of Financial Advisors, say the darndest things in my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. And today, brothers and sisters, we have a doctor who's calling in and saying, hey, I'm going to be making a lot of money, and I just feel uncomfortable passing that along to a financial advisor. And Dave has kind of got him on the right foot, saying, congratulations, you're doing the right things. You know, you graduated from your residency and you're thinking about your financial future. And that's beautiful. Now, he's actually thinking about it, in my opinion, a little too late. When he was going into residency, when he was accumulating the debt, that's kind of like when he needs a financial advisor to kind of guide him through. But he's prudent. Looks like he did a good job. So we're going to see exactly what Dave's advice is. And I'm going to chime in and let you know what mine is.
And it'll solve both of your problems. Sometimes people want a financial advisor in their head. That means they have to take over and run their life, and we have to trust them. Instead, I use a financial broker to do investments with, but I make the decisions. And the way I make the decisions is his job is to present options to me, ideas to me, and to teach me something I didn't know before. And so much like you've studied in your medical career to learn to be an expert in that, you won't have to study nearly as hard on money. It's not that complicated. But you're going to have to learn a few basic things from a good financial, from a good investment broker or investment advisor. And they say they are advising you. They're not telling you.
I say this a little bit differently. I say I'm not here to tell you what to think. I am here to teach you how to think, because as a professional, I see things that you may not see. So when you're talking about your mortgage, or should you buy this or should you purchase this car, I'm not here to tell you if you should or you should not. What I'm here to do is to provide you with the numbers. Dave says this all the time. It's more than money. Investing is more than money. Finances is more than money. Yeah, it is a behavior. But if you don't know the numbers, or if you don't know what money is available, how can you ever make a good decision, or even a rational decision at that point? Because there's no really perfect decisions. It's just the decisions that you make with the information that you have. One thing he said, which I really love, he says, your financial advisor should have the heart of a teacher. And if you've been following Financial Advisors Say the Darnest Things, you know I have over 700 videos of just teaching you about life, about scams, about how money works, how the banks work, and how wires work, and questions that they should ask you, and things that you should consider, because that's what I do. I offer advice about compound interest, APRs, APYs, credit debt, all these things that help all these things to help you through your life so you can make a better financial decision. Let's see what else he has to say as far as hiring a financial advisor.
It's not a babysitter. You're not turning your money over to them and just hope it works out. They're saying this is advice, and with advice means you're going to learn a little bit. Okay, I don't understand that.
Yep.
And by the way, the rule is you don't work with a financial advisor that doesn't have the heart of a teacher. If they have the heart of a salesman, they're slimy. Run.
Right.
If you feel like you need to have a shower after you met with them, run.
Yep.
And the other rule is don't put money in anything you don't understand. And then you don't end up with being one of those broke doctors.
Now, brothers and sisters, I do have a little pushback on his last comment. He says, don't invest into anything you don't understand. Now, that is very subjective about how much you need to understand. So I met people who were engineers and, you know, and doctors in their profession, and they are very meticulous. So they really want to know every moving part of what a stock is or what a bond is or how it fluctuates in the market or how it's going to perform or how it's performed in the past. And that's fine. I'm more than willing to give them the details of that. But sometimes overanalysis causes paralysis. So I can sit here and I can give you a lecture from, you know, all my master's courses or, you know, from all my certifications or whatever it may be. And we can sit there for an hour and I can explain each and every step to you if that's what you want. I get paid regardless. I get paid for the services that I provide. I don't get paid a commission. So whether you choose a mutual fund or you choose a stock, I don't get paid because you pick a certain product, like an insurance product or something like that. I get paid to guide you as advice. So to manage your assets, to buy, to sell, to trade, all those things based on your life situation. So I want to get that off the table for a second that I'm doing this for any rhyme or reason. If that's how you want to spend your consultation, if that's how you want to spend your, let's say your account reviews, we can do that. I have no problem doing that. And I can sit there for as long as we want to, but think to yourself, how much do I really want to know? And as a financial advisor, it's my job to give you everything that's necessary to make a good decision. The problem we have in the industry is that a majority of people are misaligning how products actually work. They're selling whole life products as this end all, say all. There's no risk and things of that nature. And that's very dangerous. They're selling different products saying that there's tax-free and it's risk-free. You know, everything has some type of risk. So the pushback I usually get from clients is that I'm kind of negative, and I understand that, and I can take that. But the reason I am is because a majority of people are too positive. They talk about all the benefits of a product, and they never talk about the downside risk. The reason clients like me is because when I explain a situation, I understand every choice there's an opportunity cost. Meaning, if you choose one, you can't choose the other. So if you choose apples, that means you said no to oranges. So when you choose an investment or you have a certain allocation, we're saying yes to one, but we're also saying no to another possibility. So that's the downside risk. So I say, hey, you can choose choice A, but this may happen in choice B. You understand what I'm saying? So when I talk about describing a product or describing an investment scenario, I try to provide the information necessary, the good stuff and the bad things. Because what happens is they leave me, they go to another financial advisor, and they just glow up with all the benefits of the annuity. Oh, it's fixed payments. It's every week. You don't have to worry about the market going down. It's an index and you get to grow with the market and you have a guaranteed income. You never have to worry about money ever again. Yeah, but you didn't talk about the 3 or 4 years that the market is down or you make lower than what your watermark was or your year over year watermark was. You get a big fat zero. So if the market is on the way down, you may have zeros for 3, 4, 5, 6 different years, right? They don't talk about that, right? They don't talk about that annuity locking you in for, you know, 7, 8, 10 years and your surrender charges are more than what you're making, sometimes 6, 7, 8% early on in the contract. You get what I'm saying? So when you're talking about education, when you're talking about what should we tell you and what things that you should know, there are some nuts and bolts that you need to understand on how that functions in your financial plan. So don't necessarily focus on the product itself, but focus on how it fits into your financial plan And if that doesn't make sense, then that may not be the product for you.
And broke doctors are, there's more of those than there are broke musicians.
Yep.
Right. That's what my fear is, because on your show, you'd say that doctors have doctoritis, you know?
They do.
So that's what I'm afraid about, that, you know, I'll squander the money that I earn, and that's why I'm looking for a financial advisor. But at the same time, I have talked to a few people, and I just have difficulty trusting them with my money.
Yeah, you don't trust them with your money. You trust them to teach you because you trust you.
Yes.
Right.
And you must trust what Dave just told you. Let's just rewind what he said. You should be writing this down going, okay, wait a second, I'm in control. If the financial advisor gets frustrated with you and they don't want to teach you and explain the questions that you've got, you don't understand a financial move that Dave said, then don't do it.
And one more tip, brothers and sisters, understand this. When you hire a financial advisor, you are not relinquishing your funds to that person. We have what they call a custodian. So my custodian at the moment is Charles Schwab at the time of this recording anyway. So what happens is that you open an account at Charles Schwab under my firm. So I have the firm, you open the account with Charles Schwab, and then I help you manage those assets. At all times, the account is in your name, the money's in your name, you can make trades, you can do all the things you need to do in your own account. You just have a financial advisor that can go in, help you make trades, help you transfer money, help you link your accounts, all those kind of fun things that may be a little difficult for people that it may not be in their wheelhouse, right? You're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're an engineer. Like, that's what you know. Finances is something you don't. So having a financial advisor there to walk you through some of these steps and get things situated is always a plus. But once again, it's never in my possession. I don't have a vault somewhere in the office somewhere where I have all the money and all the checks and everything else like that. We have a custodian. That is somewhere that's objective. So you don't have to worry about, do I trust AB to hold my money? You're not trusting me. You're trusting Charles Schwab. That's a bank. It's an institution. It has all types of regulations, the securities there, all that kind of fun stuff. So brothers and sisters, I don't want you to get caught up in, okay, I do like this guy, but, you know, do I want to give him my money? It's always your money. Remember that. No matter who you deal with, it's always your money.
Sometimes I run into someone who comes into a lot of money and sometimes someone who's very young, for instance, in the music world, we're in Nashville, they become very popular and they got a lot of money. All of a sudden, they don't have the maturity to control the situation. And that's no one can give you that. That's called growing up. But you've already got that, obviously. Okay, so we're frugal. We're not going to overspend. We're not going to do something stupid. But you don't want someone, you know, like I've heard people say stuff like, well, I called my financial advisor and he told me I couldn't buy a car. Well, it's not his job to tell me whether I can buy a car or not. I'm going to decide if I'm going to buy a freaking car. I put the money in the dadgum account. I can decide it. I'm a big boy. I can decide. I'm a grown man. I can look at the numbers and go, I can afford this car, can't afford this car. I don't need to ask someone's permission to do crap with my money.
That's right.
This is great TV. This is great entertainment, but this is not how the real world works. And that's why you listen to me, AB Ridgway, a financial advisor, say the darnest things, because I'm a certified private wealth advisor professional with over a decade of experience, and I'm here to debunk stuff like this. This stuff gives financial advisors a bad name, and I'm here to stick up for us. This is wrong. So if you go to a financial advisor and they say that you should not buy that car, it is not because they are telling you what to do with your money. If your car is $60,000, you have $60,000 in the bank, you can buy that car. If you have $30,000 in the bank, you probably can get that car, but you're probably going to need a loan. We are not saying you can't get that car. We are saying there are going to be some negative consequences if you get that car. Meaning, if you have $60,000 to your name, you buy a $60,000 cash, you have $0. Meaning, if you lose your job or something happens with no savings account or no emergency fund, you are going to be in a world of trouble and you're going to have to go into debt. So when he says, can you afford this car? He is running the numbers. He's basing it off your mortgage. He's talking about your income. He's talking about your debts. He's talking about the expenses that you have on a day-to-day basis, whether they're discretionary, non-discretionary, all that kind of fun stuff. And he's saying it may not be in your best interest to buy a $60,000 car. Maybe you can afford a $50,000 or a $30,000 or whatever it may be. But That's what financial advisors do. They don't tell you what to do with their money. I've never told a client no. Never. I've never told you no. I've always said it may not be a good idea, but this is your money. You're like, Mr. Ridgway, well, if you're my financial advisor, aren't you supposed to guide me and tell me what I should and should not do? No. What I do is I give you the information. You make the choice that you want for you. And if you don't want to make that choice, I can give you my recommendation. Hey, I don't think that's a good idea. Or this may be a good idea under these circumstances. And then we make a decision. Then after that decision is made, what do? We make new decisions based on new information. So if you have $60,000 in the account, I say you shouldn't probably buy that car. You go buy that car. Our next meeting, we are going to talk about building your emergency fund because you just wiped it out for that brand new car. So all it does is change your financial plan. Now, does that lower or increase your probability of success? That is what my job is. My job is try to increase your probability of not outliving your money. That is client's number one fear. I am afraid of running out of money. How do I avoid running out of money? How do I increase that probability of making sure I have money in my old age? Well, it's about not buying $60,000 cars when you only have $60,000 in the bank. Or if you have $30,000 in the bank and you go buy a $60,000 car and you put yourself $30,000 in debt with no emergency savings and you have nothing put away to your retirement or anything else like that, right? That's how you do it. So anyway, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that when you are hiring a financial advisor, you should be more proactive than reactive. And the reason I say this is this. When you are in stressful situations, whether it's a divorce, whether it's a marriage, and what I mean by stressful, I mean it's a lot going on in your life, it's very hard to shop for a financial advisor. One is because Dave says something right. It's hard to find someone that you actually trust. Because now, if you inherit $1 million, now you're thinking, this advisor only likes me because I have more money. But if you had a financial advisor before and you came into $1 million, you know that financial advisor was with you before the $1 million. So the idea here is to shop when you don't have these major life events. A lot of people like to get financial advisors after a passing. You know, the mom or their dad had an estate and they're like, well, how do I manage this money? Now they're going to try to shop for these financial advisors. But when that financial advisor asks you, how much do you have? Now you're wondering, does the person actually care about me or do they care about my money? That's why when you're interviewing your financial advisor, it's really good to understand them first. Now, as a financial advisor, it is our job to figure out how much we're dealing with. Why? Because if you have $5 million, we may need to create a financial plan. You may need a personal certified private wealth advisor professional. If you have $5, we may just need to do a one-time plan or maybe just do a review of your finances to get you on the right track. So don't think that you need to hide how much money you have. People come into my, I don't want to talk about how much money I have. It's like, well, how are we going to plan around your money if we don't know the main source of your money? Well, I just came in for some information and just tell me what I need to know. I said, well, I can tell you what you need to know, but without having the amount or some, at least some basic information about you and what you're trying to do, the recommendation is not going to be good. Sorry. And that's just true. The less information that we have, the worse the recommendation is going to be because one variable can change everything. So I can say, hey, who should be my beneficiary? It's like, well, you should have somebody that you trust. He's like, well, what about my son? Yeah, your son could be your beneficiary. Do you trust him? Yeah, I think he's great. All right, down the conversation. What about my other three kids? Well, now we got to start over because now we got to talk about, does this kid, this child, this one child that I thought you have the other kid's best interest? And do you feel they're going to do the right thing by the assets? And do you want to give it to them directly? So anyway, brothers and sisters, if you're thinking about hiring a financial advisor, you know what to do. There's a link in the description. You can always schedule a 30-minute consultation with me. If you don't know anything about investing, you can always download our 4 Pillars to Christian Investing. It's a retirement guide. It's 19 pages for beginners. It goes over debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfers. So you can talk intelligently to your financial advisor, at least know some of the terminology that he's talking about, IRAs and 403Bs and checking accounts and savings accounts and debt snowballs and all those other kind of fun things that financial advisors tend to talk about and The Office. Well, also, if you like videos like this, make sure that you subscribe, because I want to teach you how to hire a financial advisor so you can have financial success for you and your family. Well, brothers and sisters, that's it for me. My name is A.B. Ridgway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.